Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, around 30 Mica homeowners and protesters met the Taoiseach and other Fianna Fáil personnel as they arrived in Cavan earlier today for the annual Fianna Fáil Thinking. The Housing Minister spoke with some of them. The Foreign Affairs Minister is urging the DUP to reverse its decision to withdraw cooperation with the Irish government. It's after Geoffrey Donaldson, the party leader, said they will no longer participate in the North-South Ministerial Council. Ireland is set to administer its 7 millionth COVID-19 vaccine by the end of the week, and the INTO calls for a public awareness campaign to ensure schools can stay open. And later in the bulletin, Kenny Harkin is here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15 this evening. Well, the Fianna Fáil Thinking is taking place today in Cavan. Around 30 Mica homeowners and protesters met with the Taoiseach and other Fianna Fáil personnel as they arrived for the annual party thinking. They were calling on the Taoiseach and others to come out and speak to them about the issue. Well, the Housing Minister did go out and speak to some of the Mica protesters. Minister Dara O'Brien told them he wants to have a resolution by the end of this month. Josephine Kelly and her 12-year-old daughter Rachel were among those who travelled from Donegal to Cavan today.
When we start talking about Mica now, she leaves the room because she just has had enough of it and it's too stressful for her. She leaves the room. She doesn't want to know about it. And this little girl had to take a day off her school today to come the whole way to Cavan to beg a government to save her home when she should be at school.
Well, there won't be a leadership challenge against Micheál Martin at the thinking today, but when questioned, the Taoiseach said parliamentary party members rarely agree anonymously on who should lead them. It follows reports that as many as 15 TDs would support a motion of no confidence in the Taoiseach. An internal report into the party's recent poor general election performance found that members feel the party has no clear identity. That report is being discussed at the meeting today. Well, as he entered the meeting, Micheál Martin was asked if he's concerned that some TDs are unhappy with his leadership.
Yeah, I've been a member of the parliamentary party for many years. I've rarely, if ever, seen unanimity on the question of many issues, including who leads the party. So that's not news, but it's my challenge to hear people. It's my job to listen. And I think what's important coming out of this meeting is that the party unites.
Well, on the Mica issue, the Labour Party leader has been in Donegal today meeting with affected homeowners. He also met with the PRO of the Mica Action Group and the chair of Donegal County Council's Mica Redress Committee. Well, Alan Kelly told today's 9 till noon show he fully supports 100% redress for Mica affected homeowners, but he said there are a number of unanswered questions that must be tackled in the coming weeks.
The Labour Party 100% supports the 100% redress. We also need to see a timeline that's going to deliver on this. I think September, the end of September, is a critical period. We're coming into budgetary talks as well. We also need to ensure that the overall structure of how this is going to work, the fine detail of that is very clear, so that, you know, the roles of various different organisations, the roles of the local authorities, the way in which this is going to work, that detail is brought forward. It seems that the working group that was set up really didn't go very far. It was also in place over a period where, as we all know, much of, I suppose, the civil service are in and out with holidays and everything, so it seemed to be a bit of a runaround. But really, there are a whole pile of questions that need to be answered over the coming weeks. It's been very clear from people I've been speaking to across today that they're very disappointed in Oireachtas members. I'm not doing the politics on this, but there has been a level of silence which they don't appreciate. So we really need to now find out very clearly from the government, will they support 100% redress, but not just in name, in reality. And the conditioning around what is going to be put in place needs to be very clear.
The Foreign Affairs Minister is urging the DUP to reverse its decision to withdraw cooperation from the Irish government. It's after the party's leader, Geoffrey Donaldson, said they will no longer participate in the North-South Ministerial Council. He's also threatening to collapse the Stormont Assembly within weeks if problems with the Northern Ireland Protocol aren't fixed. Minister Simon Coveney says nothing positive would be served by either move. Well, the DUP leader, Geoffrey Donaldson, says a deadline is needed to resolve what he called issues with the Irish sea border.
I do this not to be unhelpful. helpful, but to focus minds on the solutions that need to be found and to prevent the situation in Northern Ireland spiralling out of control. I hope that such a framework will allow a measure of political stability to be secured over the coming weeks, but make it very clear that time is short and consequences will follow. Some of these consequences we will have control of, and some we will not.
We've had notification in the past few minutes from SAOTH that as a result of an outbreak of COVID-19 at Letterkenny University Hospital, which is impacting a number of wards, visiting restrictions have been introduced in accordance with the Health Protection Surveillance Centre guidelines. The restrictions are in place in areas of the hospital impacted by the outbreak. Patient visiting in other areas is not affected. However, visitors are being asked to only attend if absolutely necessary and to be mindful of patient and staff safety. The hospital is requesting that where possible, approved visitors have received a COVID-19 vaccination. Facilitation for visitors will be one per inpatient per day by appointment, and appointments are staggered right across the board. It's recommended that children don't visit. Hospital appointments are going ahead unless people are advised that they shouldn't. Now, there's full details of this on our website, highlandradio.com. Well, Ireland is scheduled to administer its 7 millionth COVID-19 vaccine by the end of the week. It comes as people over the age of 80 and those under 65 in nursing homes are set to receive a booster jab. Throcra says there's a morality question here about the booster programme, given that only 2% of people in Africa are fully vaccinated. Immunologist Professor Luke O'Neill agrees that developing countries need the vaccine now.
Fauci said this, we've still got to get the developing world vaccinated. So he wants both things to happen simultaneously. In other words, we shouldn't still be just thinking about rich countries. We've got to get vaccine out to developing countries at the same time as the booster campaign. And that just means supply. I think, as I mentioned to you, they're predicting 22 billion doses are being made at the moment between Pfizer and Moderna, which is a huge amount of vaccine. You know, so we should be able to get it out to the developing world at the same time as a booster campaign.
The INTO says a public awareness campaign is necessary to help ensure schools can stay open safely. The HSE's testing and tracing system is under pressure after 28,000 children presented for PCR tests in the past 7 days. Meanwhile, the INTO says teachers are reporting some children still coming to school with symptoms. On today's 9 till noon show, the General Secretary of the INTO, John Boyle, urged parents and guardians in Donegal to do their bit to ensure a safe school return.
If your child has any symptom of COVID-19, you have to balance up having that child going for a test and potentially been off for 10 school days versus the damage that could be done if the child goes in and the whole class having to go off for potentially up to 14 days.
Well, COVID-19 vaccines are now available for women at any stage of pregnancy. From today, it follows updated advice from NIAC that an mRNA jab can be given at any time during the 9 months. The HSC is recommending that women take up the offer and to talk to their GP, obstetrician or midwife if they have any questions. Concerns have been raised about the delivery of a new health centre for Dunfanaghy. In 2018, a contract for the €2.5 million project was signed by the HSC. It was expected to open in 2020. However, to date, the sod has yet to be turned on the site. Councillor Michael McClafferty, who had campaigned consistently for this over a number of years, says the HSC must address this as a matter of urgency.
Raised concerns over the timeline, Michaela, because obviously at this stage this is totally unacceptable that we're still not a digger on site. 3 years is a long time. I know things take time, but this is really stretching in my view. Like, I've been trying now for a long time to get answers here, and all we just keep on being told that it's in process, it's what solicitors, going to solicitors, it's what leasing and so on, and that's all fair enough, but I believe now we're at the stage now we need to get a digger on site, we need to get building. The people in Dunfanaghy at the moment have no health centre at all at the moment because the current old health centre that is there has been closed now for some time. There's no health centre at all there now, so they're using the Chrysler one now, which for many, it's not suitable for some people going to Chrysler. The people in Dunfanaghy they're angry, they're frustrated, and it's not good enough. And this is where we need to get moving forward, and I am publicly calling the HSE to please try and speed up everything, just pull out the stops to get this happening before the end of the year, as we would be hopeful for. But it all lies in HSE's door, Michaela, to be honest with you, as them alone can make this happen. That's the only thing stopping you at the minute, is for the HSE to give the green light to the developer in question, okay lads, carry on, we just go, because they understand everything else is in place, but we need that green light from them
And has the HSE given any indication at all as when this could start?
Not at the minute, other than just it's ongoing with there's no definite timeline as such at the moment, or none that I'm satisfied with anyway. Apart from being told, it's what the solicitors, that's basically all we're hearing.
And that's Councillor Michael McClafferty there, speaking to Michaela Clark. The government insists the future of Sláintecare isn't in doubt. It follows the resignation of two senior officials involved in the long-term healthcare plan. It's intended to provide universal healthcare, free GP care and an end to private practice in public hospitals. Well, Junior Minister Mary Butler says while the resignations are a setback, they will not stop the government from driving on with the plan.
Sláintecare is not in any doubt, and we have proven that with the substantial funding that went into Sláintecare in last year's budget, with unprecedented $23 billion into health, which drove on a lot of programs within the Sláintecare narrative.
Prices rose on an annual basis in August at the highest rate in almost a decade. CSO figures show an increase of 2.8% when compared with the same month last year. Transport costs were up almost 10%, while the cost of fuel, electricity and gas were up over 7%, as well as the cost of housing. Business journalist Gavin McLaughlin says the rate at which inflation is rising, however, may be temporary.
The big question, of course, is this something that's sort of going to be long-lasting, or is it something that's temporary? I think most economists, it's probably fair to say, would tell you this is going to be temporary, and as sort of the economy catches up and supplies of things catch up as we get back to normal, this level of price increase probably isn't going to be sustained. But of course, it's significant, when it makes an impact on punters' pockets.
The founder and chief executive of E&I Engineering says the acquisition of the company by Vertiv in the US will lead to continued investment and job creation. The Inishowen-based company has confirmed all current roles will be safeguarded as part of the almost €2 billion deal, along with 100 new jobs to be created in the Northwest next year. E&I Engineering currently employ 2,100 people worldwide. Philip O'Doherty says while the governments on both sides of the border have failed to deliver jobs for the Northwest, the region is still a great place in which to invest.
As part of our announcement yesterday, we announced 100 new jobs. Now, these were going to happen anyway, regardless of this announcement. So, I'm hoping for continued investment and continued job creation. Like we came to Burnfoot in 2004 with zero staff, and now we've got 1,150 people here, and there are 100 to come. So it's been a great success story for us. And I would like to also pay tribute to this, the Northwest area. I think it's a great location for inward investment. And unfortunately, we haven't seen a lot. I want to have a go at the politicians here in North and South. They're not doing a good enough job to bring more jobs here. We've got the disadvantages of being remote from the centres of government, and maybe we haven't got the influence. But, I really think the Derry and Donegal area is a fabulous place to invest. The work ethic is here. Like, we retain staff better than we would do in the large cities throughout Ireland. I think the skill set and the education is really good as well.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, proud sponsors of the Donegal GAA Championships. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's approaching 16 minutes past five, and we say good evening to Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and FAI CEO Jonathan Hill says Stephen Kenny's future won't be discussed until the end of the World Cup qualifying campaign. 2 points from their first five Group A matches mean Ireland won't be going to Qatar next year. Kenny has contracted as Ireland boss until July of next year, and Hull says results will be taken into consideration.
We have an expectation before every game that we're going to be competitive and win those games. But football is football, and we've had a range of performances, we've had a range of results, and we will review those, as I say, as we move forward.
On to the ladies, and Claire Shane, Harriet Scott and Savannah McCarthy have all been recalled to the Republic of Ireland squad for their friendly with Australia. All three have recovered from respective injuries. Roma McLaughlin, Amber Barrett and Kira Grant have all been included, but Vera Powell is without the likes of Megan Campbell, Ali Murphy and Claire O'Riordan. The head coach has also welcomed a landmark partnership with Sky. The broadcaster will become the standalone primary partner of the Republic of Ireland women's team. Elsewhere, the Premier League and the EFL have opposed FIFA's proposals to hold a World Cup every 2 years. They say they'll work together with other stakeholders to prevent the plans that would harm domestic football with an already congested calendar. Football's world governing body is to conduct a feasibility study into holding the tournament more frequently than every 4 years. And Japan has withdrawn as host of this year's World Club Cup due to coronavirus concerns. The decision comes after the Japanese government extended emergency coronavirus restrictions in Tokyo and other regions until the end of this month. The tournament's due to start in December, with Chelsea entering having won the Champions League last season. Meanwhile, the Football Association has asked FIFA to investigate what caused a melee between England and Poland at halftime in their World Cup qualifier in Warsaw last night. The Polish FA have denied there was a racial element in a confrontation between Kyle Walker and Kamil Glick, for which both players were booked during the 1-1 draw. Meanwhile, Brazilian football legend Pele says he's recovering well after he had surgery to remove a tumour from his colon. The 80-year-old was admitted to hospital for a procedure to remove the suspicious lesion. Pele previously said he would approach the treatment with a smile and a lot of optimism. In Gaelic Games, former Mayo player Seamus O'Shea says he doesn't think Mayo's long wait for the All-Ireland final will have a negative impact. The Connacht champions defeated Dublin on the 14th of August, but had to have to wait until September the 11th for the final due to the delay of the Tyrone-Kerry semi-final. The extra weeks given to play the final has helped Oisin Mullen to recover from injury. Seamus says Mayo will be well prepared.
I don't think it'll make much of a difference, to be honest. I think... The script will be written afterwards, and people will either say it worked in their favour or worked against them. I think the Dublin game was pretty physical and would have taken a lot out of the lads. So you probably spend that week recovering and taking it easy, and then you've probably a block of 2 weeks in between where you go hard, and then you have a nice handy week next week where you take it easy on the way into the final. So the S&C guys and stuff will have all that covered off. I don't think it'll be an issue. Because Oisin's such an important player, I think it's probably suiting us, because hopefully it means that he's given as much time as possible to get back. Regardless of what happens next Saturday, it won't be an excuse from Mayo's point of view. Their preparation will be fine, and they'll be in a good position.
Well, ahead of this weekend's All-Ireland football final, we're taking the Score programme on the road this evening and into County Tyrone, broadcasting from the home of Cathal McShane. Join the big match build-up at the Owen Roe O'Neill's Club Lake Patrick Glenmorning, where we'll be speaking with members of the club and the former All-Ireland winners from the Red Hand County. That's the Score this evening after the 7 o'clock news, with Oisin Kelly and his guests, including the likes of Martin McHugh, Stephen O'Neill and John Lynch. Moving on to golf, and Shane Lowry at two under par and Jonathan Caldwell at one under par are the best of the Irish in day one of the BMW Championship at Wentworth. Lowry still has four holes to play, while Caldwell, he's in the clubhouse following a round of 71. Graham McDowell and Padraig Harrington are both level par. Cormac Sharvin, he's one over. Thailand's Kiradek Appy Barnrat is the clubhouse leader on 8 under par. Finally, for this evening in tennis, the US Open women's semi-finals both take place tonight. First up, second seed Aryna Sabalenka takes on Canadian teenager Leia Fernandez. That's followed by a clash of 18-year-old qualifier Emma Raducanu and 17th seed Maria Sakkari. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. It's back to Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. Well, it's a Thursday evening, which means it's time for our Farming News and Views slot with Chris Ashmore.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll be hearing about a meeting between farming organisations and the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnellogue, this week on a number of key issues. But first, Donegal Macra is holding a nitrates farm walk and talk next Wednesday, September the 15th. It'll take place on Brendan McLaughlin's farm near Manor Cunningham. Brendan is, of course, the IFA chairman in the county. This is the third of a series of walks and talks in the Northwest, and you can see more on the Northwest Macra Facebook page. By the way, the next County Donegal IFA executive meeting will be held online on Tuesday, September the 21st. Well, earlier today I spoke with Pat O'Toole of the Irish Farmers Journal about a meeting that took place this week between farm leaders and the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnellogue, on a number of issues, including the Nitrate Action Programme. And I put it to him that it has been somewhat controversial.
Absolutely. I suppose we're at a critical moment. We've had a year and a half now where there haven't been many face-to-face engagements because of COVID, but we've three huge issues. We've the cap proposals, we've the nitrates proposals, and then we have the impending climate targets, carbon targets for the rest of the decade for farming. So it's hugely important for engagement. And we had direct engagement on Wednesday. Charlie McConnellogue, the Minister for Agriculture, met with the IFA, the ICMSA, the ICSA, the INHFA and Machina Pharma. And he's not done. Next week he's going to meet with the Grain Growers Beef Plan and the Irish Beef and Lamb Association, who are the split, I suppose, from Beef Plan. So it shows, I suppose, the breadth of issues, eight different organisations. There's going to be a huge range of views on those core issues facing farming.
Now, they're not all quite singing off the same hymn sheet, but at least consultations are taking place, and that can only be a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to have to be consensus on a lot of these issues. I suppose the one they are probably all singing off the same hymn sheet on is around the nitrates. The Nitrates Action Plan, which is currently, the proposals are out there, and farmers have reacted with consternation to, because it looks like a big ask for farmers who have invested significantly in slurry storage, in equipment for spreading, that they're going to be asked to stretch again because of the new rules that are going to come in the 1st of January.
And just to give people a little bit of background, not all counties are the same, so Donegal is totally different to Wexford or Cork in this regard.
Yeah, we've got three regions, the close period is longer in Region C than Region B or A, and unfortunately Donegal falls into that category. So it's a long winter, I suppose the two core issues. One is for all farmers, no matter where you are in the country, you probably currently have an appropriate amount of slurry for your close period. What they're talking about doing is increasing the amount, the assessed capacity that you need, because currently we take a cow is assessed to have 0.33 cubic meters of slurry storage requirement per week. They're talking about increasing that. There's a possibility that farmers will have to have more storage space per animal. And then the other one then is dirty water. What had previously been regarded as dirty water that could be spread during the closed period, land spread when the weather was appropriate, the likes of dairy washings, that now can no longer be spread, land spread during the closed period. That has to be stored as well. And they're now starting to look at what comes off the top of the silage base. So there's a lot going on in terms of the new nitrates directives, and the farm organisations were engaging. And I think they were all giving the minister the same message, that they've got to be very careful that they don't break farmers, and that farmers are going to need considerable grant aid to build any extra capacity that may be required.
Important also that whatever does emerge is that it's straightforward and clear-cut, and that people know exactly what they're meant to do. And
absolutely, clarity is very important, simplicity. Fairness, that has been present in the previous nitrates action programs. Farmers mightn't have liked some of the measures there, but I think they were pretty clear on them. And the level of compliance has been high.
Now, moving on to a slightly different topic, Pat, around 4,000 farmers nationally have received letters from the Department of Agriculture this week detailing the fines that they will face as a result of not complying with one of the specified criteria under BEAM, the Beef Exceptional Aid Measure. So what exactly is going on?
Yes, so the BEAM scheme, that was the Brexit aid, which supported farmers, cattle farmers, for animals slaughtered in relation to the drop in prices that are associated with the depressed market around Brexit, partly through currency. So those farmers, as you say, 4,000 of them have been deemed to have fallen foul of the terms of the scheme. They had to submit a BPS application in all of the years 19, 20 or 21. The Board B Equality Assurance Scheme participation was required. They had to be in either BDGP, BEEP, the organic scheme, or GLAS, or if they hadn't reduced the amount of nitrogen, organic nitrogen from cattle by 5%, they'll receive a penalty which could range from €40 to over €11,000. So it's very significant.
One other thing before we let you go, you've been continuing your CAP modelling series, and this week you've been looking at what I suppose you could call is a typical beef finisher. So how are things faring out for that individual?
Not good, but that's no surprise, because these were the cohort of farmers who probably had the highest payments. We modelled out a farm which in 2002 on 125 acres, 50 hectares, was finishing 200 cattle. 90 of them would have been clean eared when they were bought in, all animals bought in. So 90 bullocks bought in as yearlings with clean ears, which meant that the two special beef premiums were available, the two extensifications, and then the slaughter premium. And then the balance of cattle, heifers and steers, bought punched out. Between that, the slaughter premiums, the extensifications, drawing a significant payment, over 46,000 in 2005, the first year of the Fischler reforms and of decoupled payments, that equated to a very high per hectare payment, over €900 a hectare, 932 to be exact. So through the recent Cholos convergence, his payments have come down to under €700, about 693. His payments dropped by over 10,000. And now under the current proposals, they're going to drop again down to, we reckon, under 21,000 by 2026. So a loss of over half his payment through the last two decades. Other farmers might argue with some justification that there's been 20 good years there for a farmer who was on high payments. But there's no doubt that the question to be asked here is the buying power of finishers around the ring is very important to sucker farmers and guys who buy calves and bring them forward to stores. If that buying power is reduced, will it affect the price of store cattle and of young cattle ringside?
And that was Pat O'Toole, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. In other news, Cathal Mooney of Heather Hill Farm in Dunkaneely has been chosen as a Farming for Nature ambassador for 2021. He is one of seven ambassadors chosen for the Farming for Nature Public Vote Awards. The public are invited to vote for their favourite ambassador, and you can find out more on farmingfornature.ie. And finally, well done to convoy farmer Colin Tate, who has been going out around Donegal this week on a 1978 Massey Ferguson 135 to raise funds for Pieta House. He has already raised more than €1,500, and you can donate on the iDonate website. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highland's Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafoe Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Well, the forecast for this evening, bright spells and some scattered showers with heavy and potentially thundery downpours, giving a risk of localised flooding. Winds light and variable. Tonight, mostly cloudy with mist and fog developing. Further scattered showers, some of those heavy and thundery early in the night. It'll stay mild and humid with temperatures not falling below 14 or 15 degrees Celsius. Light and variable winds. Tomorrow, Friday, mostly cloudy with scattered showers, some of them heavy in the afternoon and evening. Highest temperatures tomorrow, 17 or 18 degrees Celsius in moderate west to northwest winds. Looking at the main headlines this evening, around 30 Mica homeowners and protesters met the Taoiseach and other Fianna Fáil personnel as they arrived in Cavan earlier today for the annual Fianna Fáil Think. And among those who spoke to the protesters was the Housing Minister, Dara O'Brien, who told them he wants to have a resolution by the end of this month. One of the people who spoke to him was Josephine Kelly. She said her 12-year-old daughter, Rachel, had travelled to Cavan to beg the government to save her home. The Labour leader says his party fully supports 100% redress for Mica affected homeowners. Alan Kelly has been in Donegal today, meeting with homeowners and also with the PRO of the Mica Action Group and the chair of Donegal County Council's Mica Redress Committee. And the Foreign Affairs Minister is urging the DUP to reverse the decision to withdraw cooperation from the Irish government. And Letterkenny University Hospital has new restrictions on visiting because of COVID. Back with more at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 9th of September. The death has occurred of Anna McMenamin, 334, Grahamsland, Castlefin. Her remains will repose at her residence from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday at 9:30 for 10 o'clock, Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Castlefin, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of John Ward, Gord Calley, Kerry Keel. House is strictly private, please, at the request of the deceased. Funeral arrangements will be confirmed later. Inquiries to McIlwee Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Sister Assumpta Kelly, formerly of Tullahan, County Leitrim. Her remains will arrive at St Aidan's Church, Kinloch, County Leitrim, this evening to repose overnight. Requiem Mass will be celebrated on tomorrow, Friday, at 3 o'clock, with interment afterwards in St Aidan's Cemetery. Personal condolences can be made through Patrick McKenna Funeral Directors, Ballyshannon. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the Kinloch Glenad Parish Facebook page. The death has taken place of Francis McLaughlin, née Conaghan, Chirargus, Church Hill. Funeral from there on Saturday morning for Mass at 11 o'clock in St Columbkill's Church, Glendone, followed by interment in Garton Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/churchhill. The death has occurred of Tony Patton, Castle Ban, Stranorer. Funeral from his home on Saturday afternoon at 1:15 for 2 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Requiem Mass will be streamed live via St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon Facebook page. The death has taken place of Mickey Moy, Letcher Brick, Clohan. His remains are reposing at his home. Family, neighbours and friends welcome. Requiem Mass at 11 on Saturday morning in the Church of Our Lady of Perpetual Succour, Glen Finn, with burial afterwards in Fintown Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv/camera/Our Lady of Perpetual Succour, Glen Finn. The death has taken place of Bobby McBride, 9 McGurr Park, Strabane, and formerly of Derry Road, Strabane. Funeral from his home tomorrow morning at 9:25 for Requiem Mass in Sacred Heart Church, Derry Road at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in St Mary's Cemetery, Clock Corr. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam, churchservices.tv/lechpatrick. And the death has occurred of Hugh Harran, Drumbo Upper, Stranorer. Funeral from his late residence tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorer at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam at churchservices.tv/Stranorer. The house and funeral are private to family only, please.